Thank you. Well, it's an honor to be here. June is the busiest month of my year every year. And I had to write out a day-by-day calendar in order to keep it straight on what town I was going to be in on what day, going back and forth across Montana. And Robert asked me to speak, and I appreciate that. I was like, well, I think I can squeeze it in between this and this, and I'm passing through, and I might be able to give you 24 hours, and if you can pick a slot for me to speak in, I just might be able to pull it off. So, but it's pretty special to be here with the Saints and to encourage one another. I'd like to ask Robert, if you would, to open us up in prayer for the message.
You bet. Father God in heaven, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to be here, the time that we get to share, and the opportunity that we have to pay close attention to what it is that you have called us to do and to be. Lord, I pray that you will bless James and bless this message and bless the people who are listening, that it will hit us in our hearts and help us to have a better and more careful appreciation about how we ought to live in this world. I thank you for Jesus Christ and for the tremendous opportunity we have to be his servants and to carry and live out his message here. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Well, by way of introduction to this topic of generosity, I'd like to start just by stating that we live in a very broken world. You don't have to look very far to see the suffering and devastation that's caused by sin. It is rampant. The last several days, I got to spend a lot of quality time with my kids, my foster kids from all over Montana, at a special camp that I helped lead and bring to Montana a few years back to reach out to some of those suffering boys and girls. Well, this week, there was a teen girl by the name of Shayla, and she's been in the foster care system for a long time. She's seen her share of betrayal and heartache and loss. And she asked us during one of the devotional times, if God wants the best for me, why am I in foster care? If God wants the best for me, why have I experienced the pain and the heartache and the loss, the abuse and neglect? Well, we're not citizens of this world. It's a broken world, but it's not our home. That's why we go through the sufferings and the tragedies and the agony. Because we're in a foreign land. Paul told the Philippians that their citizenship was in heaven, not down here. The scripture says that we have been transferred to the kingdom. When you receive the forgiveness of sins and the indwelling gift of the Holy Spirit, you are transferred into the kingdom. The kingdom is a present reality. Therefore, we are empowered to live like it. My topic tonight is generosity of heart as a character quality of kingdom people. Generosity of heart. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 8. I've got a few scriptures that I want to look at tonight. Just a verse at a time, a verse here, a verse there, and kind of pull them together on this topic. The first verse that we're going to look at is Romans chapter 8, verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? If God did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, is there anything else that God will not freely give us? That looks to me like generosity. Freely giving from God to us. Now, there are three areas of generosity that I want to peg tonight. The first one is generosity in gratitude. Being generous in your gratitude. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, verse 20. The scripture reads, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. Always giving thanks for all things. That's what we're called to do as kingdom people. Thankfulness. Thankfulness is a powerful character trait. I would go so far as to say that thankfulness is one of the most powerful antidotes to sin in your life. Do you want to overcome sin completely? Try thankfulness as your vehicle. Turn with me to Acts chapter 16. Verse 25. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. I hope you know the story. Paul and Silas were not in a comfortable situation. They were in a very, very unpleasant situation. And the end result was an earthquake that broke their chains. Their method was praising God. Think about that for a moment. Praising God broke their chains. What chains would you like to break? For yourself or for someone else. thankfulness and praising God can break those chains. When things don't go real well, and yet you find something to be grateful for, that's pretty generous. The second aspect of generosity that I want to show you is being generous in compassion and mercy. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. And so, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. We have been chosen of God, beloved. We are instructed to put on a heart full of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. I would say that that's going to look pretty generous to the people that we're trying to reach and impact. When someone has compassion and mercy, when it's not necessarily warranted, what do they say? Man, that's really generous of him. That's really generous of her. To be so forgiving, to be so understanding. Turn with me next to Ephesians chapter 2. Just a few pages earlier. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But God, being stingy in mercy... I read that wrong. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us. When it came to compassion and mercy, God was pretty generous with you. He was pretty generous with me. There's a lot of people that need compassion and mercy. There's a lot of people that need to see gratefulness and thankfulness in a dark world. Those character qualities will shine like heaven if you so choose to grow them and develop them and exhibit them. The third area or aspect of generosity that I'd like to touch on is being generous in service. Being generous in service to others. Turn to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verse 8. Jesus says, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give. Freely you received, freely give. Sounds like generosity. There are some sick people that need healing from sin. There are some dead people that need raised to walk in newness of life. There are some lepers that need to be cleansed by the blood of Christ. There are some that are traumatized by the forces of spiritual darkness, whether you call them demons or something else. Freely you received the gospel. Are you willing to freely give it to someone else to bring that power of healing through Jesus Christ? Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul makes a pretty profound statement in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 15. He says, "And I will most gladly spend and be expended for your souls." I would encourage you to look that up in the Greek. That's a pretty intense statement. I will most gladly spend and be expended for your souls. Generosity in service involves being available and being committed. You know, I was visiting with my sister Charity earlier this evening, and she was talking about Rich being so available and so committed to doing anything he possibly could for this weekend's camp.
Amen. Amen.
Asking, is there anything else I can do? Let me know and I'll do it. I hope you're all familiar with 1 Corinthians 15:58. I'm not going to take the time to go there. But it indicates that the upward call is to always be abounding in the work of the Lord. Whatever your talents, whatever your abilities, whatever you have to offer, even if it's just helping put up a tent, to always be abounding in the work of the Lord. That's generous. That's generous. To be abounding in it, and then to always be abounding in it. That's generous. There's a lot of ways that we can work together to build the kingdom. It's not about what's important and what's not important. It's not about whether it's large or small. It's about whether we're willing to do what we can. So, in the applications here, living generously is going to involve you sacrificing your time, your energy, and probably some physical economic resources. But if we think about how this relates to living the reality of the kingdom and being empowered to actually live like it, even though we're not in heaven yet, you could almost say that it's as if we are called to live as generously as if we already possessed heaven. Now that could be a bit of a mental stretch. So perhaps I can put it in a little bit more earthly terms. Living generously like you have $1 billion. You know, if you had $1 billion, would you really care about $100 here or $1,000 there? Would you really worry about if running out of resources? Would that be a big concern on your mind? What is $1 billion when measured against the eternal rest we will have with our Savior? The treasures of heaven. If you live like you have $1 billion, you're going to be generous if you really care about people. And you're not going to worry about whether you're going to run out. See, that's really where the mental shift switches from the physical to the eternal to the spiritual. Because if we really are citizens of heaven, we're not living for this life anyway. We don't have anything to lose. We've got everything to gain by spending and being expended on behalf of others. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 10, Paul writes, "As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing all things." Paul said, we are living poor, yet we are making many rich. What is true riches? Flip back just a few pages to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. First Corinthians chapter 4, verse 11. This is one of the most radical statements in the New Testament, in my humble opinion. Now, specifically in context, Paul is referring to the apostles. Not everyone, the apostles. To this present hour, We are both hungry and thirsty, and are poorly clothed, and are roughly treated, and are homeless. Now there's a lot more in context, a couple verses before and a couple verses after that you can check out. But if we just look at verse 11 at the moment, this is a ridiculous level of sacrifice. I mean, come on, give me a break. Hungry and homeless? This is ridiculous. I would imagine that there are quite a few people in this audience that have done some pretty ridiculous things for God. There are times when I feel pretty ridiculous sacrificing. Now, I don't know what you're invested in and the struggles and the challenges that you are forging ahead through for the kingdom. I don't know about all the sacrifices that you're making, stretching yourself when it's uncomfortable, when it's scary. But I can tell you how I feel sometimes. The last few days, I have worked 16, 18-hour days as a volunteer, not getting a single penny out of it, serving teenagers that are suffering in the foster care system and bringing the love of Christ to them. 16, 18-hour days. That is pretty rough. I have some physical limitations on my stamina, and it takes a lot out of me. Sometimes I feel like, how much more must I sacrifice at great personal expense? Sometimes I feel like, how many more Bible studies do you think I can take, God? I'm packing them in everywhere I can. How many more do you want me to try to squeeze in? How many counseling sessions do I have to go through and agonize through in helping other people with their struggles and their challenges? How much more can I take? I'm just being honest. This is how I feel sometimes. So I want to share some thoughts on how to have this in the proper perspective when we think about giving it our all in generosity. Because I know that there are some very generous people in this audience. How do we process this appropriately, not under compulsion, but with the right heart, doing what we can without burning ourselves out? You can't give what you don't have. So I think it's important to realize that you need to determine how to refuel and what is going to work for you. To go to God for refueling. I cherish solitude. Working with people and helping people all the time can really wear you out. You expend your emotional and mental and physical batteries when you're reaching out generously. So you need to know how to recharge. You need to know what is going to be your methods, your strategies for recharging. I'm around people all the time. And sometimes I need time to myself. I have to choose to take that time to refuel. Time in the Word, time in prayer. Listening to encouraging messages, getting out in nature. One of my personal therapy avenues is going fishing. God speaks to us through His Word. And God refuels us through His Word. But it's important to note that your paper Bible does not always have to be open and in front of you in order for God to speak to you. God speaks to me through nature. Breathing in the forest scent out here. God speaks to me through films, movies, with powerful themes. There are a lot of different ways that God speaks to me and recharges me, but it's always based on either having the Word open in front of you, or alternately, having the Word up here in your mind as you go about your life, as you go about your situations and scenarios. I can walk through the forest and hear God speak to me because of the scriptures that are in here that relate to this creation. So, what is oxygen for your spirit? What does that look like for you? What do you need to do so that you can continue to pour out your heart, your time, your energy, your money, your possessions, pour them out into investments that are eternal and life-changing for other people. In closing, I'd like you to turn to Matthew chapter 6. I want to peg three verses in Matthew chapter 6. First one is verse 19. Jesus says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal." You can try to amass physical things and then watch them fade away and disappear. Skip down to verse 26. Jesus says, "Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they?" I've thought about this verse a number of times in my life and meditated on the fact that the birds outside my house are not going to go hungry because God cares about them, and God says He cares about me even more, so I don't have to worry about that. Skip down to verse 33. "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." I am willing to go out on a limb because of Matthew 6:33. If this passage was not in here, I would not feel near empowered to generously spend and be expended for eternal things. If you do not have Matthew 6:33 imprinted on the inside of your brain, you are selling your potential short. This is an incredibly powerful promise that you can take to the bank, literally. If you will seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, your needs will be met. God Himself will take the responsibility off your shoulders and upon Himself. I have known people that have done ridiculous things in terms of generosity for the kingdom because of Matthew chapter 6. Especially verse 33. So the three verses, to recap, verse 19 says, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. It's not going to last. It won't be worth it. Verse 26 says, God's going to take care of you because you are valuable. And verse 33 says, you just got to put Him first and seek His kingdom, and He'll have your back. What if we lived like these three verses were actually true? What if we really lived like these verses were actually true? If we will, there will be no lack of eternal increase. We will be unstoppable for Jesus and with Jesus. But it all starts with a generous heart. God has been incredibly generous with us. Are we willing to grow in our generosity, being grateful in all things, having compassion and mercy, being available and committed to service, leaning on Jesus to make those sacrifices to change the world, to pierce through the darkness around us, to live like we really do have the light of heaven and possess it. What can we not accomplish with Christ? Thank you.